Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, it's Trina Mara. So the Doobie Brothers are playing Dublin's Three Arena on the 21st of July. Michael MacDonald is with us. You're very welcome, Michael. How are you? Or is it Mike as you prefer?
Well, most people who know me call me Mike. But either one works. But glad to be talking with you. I'm looking forward to coming over.
Thanks so much for coming on. So I guess the Doobie Brothers are well over 50 years on the go, and yet you were supposed to be only in there for a short time as a temporary measure. Please tell everybody right. What happened.
Well, the guys were always, from the moment I first encountered them, a great bunch of people. You know, the one thing that I think has kept us going all these years is our friendship. You know, the muse has been with us and left us at different times, and we've run the gamut of all the things that happened to bands, even thrown a little furniture at each other backstage, but we've always, I think the most important thing to all of us has always been our friendships, and that's what's really kept us together, and that's what's made the next album always kind of an irresistible prospect to see what we could do next, So all these years later at our age, we're still thinking that way. And, as much as traveling and touring is a little different now, I have a little bit of trouble imagining myself an 80 years old sleeping in a bunk on a bus. But at the same time, when we get on stage, it's like we're 19 again. We feel in the moment that it's the same as it's always been, and only getting better all the time.
Because weren't you brought in originally, Mike, just because one of the guys was ill and you were doing backing vocals and that, and it was like, right, we need somebody to keep this tour going for us. So it was really not supposed to be a long-term thing, and yet here you are.
50 years later, yes. Yeah. No, that's very true. And like I say, the guys were always really gracious about including me on whatever level I was able to, step up. And I'll be forever grateful for that. The Doobie Brothers was the great opportunity in my life, and just due to the generosity and so many bands you might join, would those positions that were occupied by certain people, I had a great experience working with Steely Dan. I doubt if I would have ever written a song for Steely Dan, because that was just not in the cards, But with the Doobies, I'd say Patrick early on was a great advocate for me, actually maybe writing some songs for the band and being more of a member of the band in the recording studio than just a side band. So, and all the guys were always very welcoming to the idea that I might fit in the band in the long run. Jeff Baxter, who was originally the guy who got me the job, he and I worked in Steely Dan together. And so when the situation arose where Tom wasn't able to finish that tour for health reasons, he thought of me and suggested that I could step in. And it wasn't a situation of auditioning, because it was just too, time was not on anyone's side at that moment. The dates were looming. They had canceled a few shows just to get someone in there and fill in and do a couple days of rehearsal. It wasn't like I had to audition for the job, but Jeff really put his head on the chopping block for me, and said, this guy can do what we need. And I vouched for him, so I'll always be grateful to him for that.
It was a bleeding ulcer, so it was kind of like he literally cannot go on stage. You've got a week to rehearse everything and get the show on the road, and that's what you did, and here we are all these years later. So what came first? Was it that temporary gig, or working with all the other singers like Christopher Cross and, Toto and Kenny Loggs? I assume that kind of was a little bit later, was it?
Around the time I was with Steely Dan, I was doing sessions in the LA area whenever I was home. Not so much for some acts, I'd sung on a few records that of people you might or might not have known. But it wasn't really till after I was with the Doobies for a while that I started to get a reputation as a background singer, kind of on the A-list of background singers. And I started to have my own kind of, 20 feet from stardom experience, I seemed like I was singing on a lot of records all of a sudden. And the record companies weren't happy about that. They thought that I was overexpending myself, you know, and that people were going to get tired of hearing the sound of my voice. But for me, the allure was too much. I mean, I loved working on other people's records. I loved hearing what people were doing before the records were even mixed. Everything about it really appealed to me, and it would have been really hard for me to give that up. I do it to this day. You know, I still sing on sessions, and it's just something that's always been a big part of my routine, and I always felt like it kept me up to date. It kind of kept me in the running. You know, for me, those experiences, more than just being in a band, I think when you get into a band and you get isolated in that situation, you can kind of drift away from what's really going on around you. I always felt it was important to keep one foot out the door in terms of working on other people's records whenever I had the opportunity, you know.
I keep forgetting. What a massive, massive hit. Does it still give you the same joy to perform that as it did at the start?
Yes. You know, that's still a song. We don't do it with the Doobies.
You don't, right,
we pretty much stick to what I did
at the Doobie Brothers. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I still enjoy playing those songs. There's a lot of songs that I haven't been doing for a couple of years now that I did with my own band. You know, some of the ballads that we used to do, our show was geared around a little bit more of an evening with, and so the dynamics of that show were a little different. With the Doobies, it's a rock and roll show for sure, and we pretty much keep the energy level up for the most part. We do some songs that you could consider ballads, but they're usually ballads with a groove or something that that keeps the energy level at a certain pace. And whereas with my band, I could actually sit down and sing a couple things at the piano by myself and really bring the whole focus down musically to a moment like that, which we could do with the Doobie Brothers. We just haven't. We've got so many of the songs that we think people really want to hear and may feel like they miss something if we don't do them, that, you know, we don't depart from that a lot. We kind of stay with the up-tempo rock stuff and more R&B stuff. And then, like I say, any ballads we do are usually things like You Belong to Me or South City Midnight Lady.
Yeah, because I guess you could be playing till 1 a.m, couldn't you, if you were to play everything, all the songs that people know you from.
Yeah, we'd probably be asleep up there at some point, but yeah, at our age. But we could easily do a three-hour show, you know, with all the songs that the guys collectively have written over the years, you know.
I do have a Michael McDonald question for you though, right? And this is about your super fan, the 11-year-old little girl who you got to meet, and it was such an incredible story that I saw online. It might have been about 2 years ago now, and she'd been listening to your songs on the radio and was absolutely crazy about your voice. And then she googled you, and she realized like you weren't this teenager or 20 something, and she couldn't believe it. And you finally got to meet. She was literally obsessed with your music at 11 years of age. I love that when younger people find music that was maybe out long before their time, and they still adore it.
Yeah, no, it was very sweet, and she's really a sweet little girl. Although I'll never forget the look of horror on her face when she actually saw this white-haired old dude standing there. You know, the last picture she'd seen of me was I was in the 70s at some point, you know, or the 80s maybe. You know? Yeah. But she was very sweet about it, and you know, she went out of her way to hide her disappointment. But she enjoyed the show, you know, and that was the main thing. And I got to meet her, and hopefully I'll be able to meet her when we're out there this year and invite her and her folks to the show again. But it was a really sweet encounter for me, you know.
Yeah, good to know you got super fans, still recruiting them. Patti LaBelle, is you know when you did that video with Patti LaBelle, is it true that you never actually met?
Yeah, no, we had not met. We did this song, I sang to her voice on tape. She was in New York doing a Broadway play at the time, and her schedule didn't allow her to come. And I don't think there was any real needs. I think she was happy with the vocals she had done. And I was glad to be able to not have to go one-on-one with her in the studio, because Patti's known for being quite the performer on the spot and a very physical singer, you know. And so knowing what her vocal was in advance was an advantage for me, because I could kind of fashion my responses and my part of the duet around the voice that existed on tape. It took a lot of pressure off me, you know. we didn't meet, and we didn't meet until we had to sing the song together on national television on the Johnny Carson Tonight Show. And we got one rehearsal the night before. We maybe ran the song through once or twice, maybe. And then we went out to dinner and talked, and we thought, you know, can we believe we're actually going to do this on the Tonight Show? And we only met like an hour ago, you know, but it went well. And, you know, it was a great experience. And she was, you know, she was always so gracious. Any chance I ever got to perform with Patty, it's always been a very enjoyable experience, you know.
This seems to be the story of your life, being thrown in at the deep end like that, like the very start of the interview when we were talking about going on stage with the Doobie Brothers with a few days notice. And then again, with Patty LaBelle. You don't need any rehearsals, it seems.
Well, I used to not, but at my age now, it's like if I haven't played something for 2 days, I've totally forgotten it. But yeah, no, I feel like my career is one that was born of other people's hard work. You know, I just kind of dropped out of the sky here and there, you know, and reap the benefits of that, you know. It's been a really interesting trip for me, you know, from coming out to California when I was 18, you know, kind of proceeding to fall through the cracks pretty well, you know, like a lot of people, you know, like you come out and you have a good job to come out to, or, you know, you're a promising situation that kind of evaporates, and the next thing you know, you're playing in the nightclubs and wondering how it all kind of disappeared. I was one of those guys, you know, and just got very fortunate in the interim to be called in for a couple of auditions that changed my life, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I wish I had all day to talk to you, because I'm sure you've got so many great stories to share from over the years of going on tour and being in studio and working with all the greats like Aretha Franklin and Ray Charles and pretty much everybody. Christopher Cross, it's so funny. Christopher Cross, my nephew, who is 12, when he was born, Christopher Cross Sailing was playing on the radio in the delivery room. And when he was a baby, he would always, when he'd be crying, all you had to do is get out your phone and play that music to him. Instantly would stop crying. It's incredible, you know. So obviously, yeah. Must remember it from the moment he was born or something. Look, it's been lovely to have you on, Michael, and we're going to see you here in Dublin at the Three Arena, which is just around the corner from our radio station, the 21st of July. Anything you'd like to say to your fans here in Ireland who've been following you all these years?
Well, it's just going to be wonderful to come back. Last time we played there was there's a big club there. I'm having a senior moment. I know it well, but at any rate, the audiences in Dublin were always fantastic. And I have a lot of relatives that will probably be there. The number of relatives raises every time I come back. So
yeah, because you've got an Irish background, don't you, Cork?
Oh, yeah, I have a lot of cousins in the Dublin area, and I look forward to seeing them all. You know.
Actually, yeah, my hairdresser is MacDonald. She'll probably be there.
I'm probably related to him.
Probably are, yeah. Look, thanks so much, and take care of yourself, and we'll see you really soon. Thanks a lot.
Looking forward to it.
See you
Thanks.
Now. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tina. Bye-bye.
There he is, Michael MacDonald on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.